Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody is enjoying the circus from the Democratic kickoff in their presidential run, as well as all of the rest of the news that just keeps providing all the entertainment so that everybody can continue to watch the carnage. I'm hoping that everybody enjoyed, I'll just say the reading, but I hope you understand and enjoy the fact of what Madison was saying in the Virginia resolutions. We're going to get back into that. But before we do, this show was also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You were listening to the only show that actually goes through these documents. And I know some people, you know, kind of, I don't know, when you tell them that you actually read the founding documents, they kind of, you know, they kind of look and I go, well, I can paraphrase, but then I'm asking people to take my word for what I'm paraphrasing. And they kind of, oh, well, that makes sense. And I go, what is more powerful than actually hearing and reading the words of the framers? I mean, these men were brilliant, and the brilliant or their brilliance and their genius, you know, exudes out of these documents and out of these words. I can't do it justice as far as I'm concerned. I think that there are some things that I might write that might have a little bit of oomph to it, but I'm nothing compared to these men. And so that's why it's really important for me to give you their exact and precise words. I also think it's important to kind of editorialize or help putting things together, because sometimes when somebody is hearing some of this, let's just call it arcane language or old vernacular of, you know, old way of speaking, then I think that it helps to have that editorializing so one can put it into context and go, huh, that's interesting that they're putting it that way. So, as you know, this show is the only show that does this, that actually will give you all of this information. So this is why you can have, and remember those premises, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree, knowledge is power, and people are the fountain of political power. The whole reason I am providing this, it's about education. It's about getting you equally informed so that you understand the importance of what has to be done. Not just, you know, in a grand scheme, these men are very specifically stating in these resolutions what has to be done. Madison said yesterday, and I'm going to get into it again, I'm going to reread this. I'm actually considered a run-on sentence king, but I am nothing compared to Madison and Jefferson. This entire paragraph that I'm going to reread a little later on is one sentence. So anyway, let me dive forward so that we can get into these resolutions, or the Virginia resolutions more specifically, as soon as possible. But before we do, let me kind of cover some of the news marketing that's out there. And I'm hoping that you're finding the truth in the fact that these things are literally distractions. These things really don't serve any good purpose. What is it that is going to help you and help you give or obtain security for your life and for your posterity? What are those things? Those things are taking down and taking away unconstitutional government and federal tyranny. We start with that. If we want to, you know, if your goal is to stop abortion, then you got to get the federal government out of the way and mandating that you have to give abortions. If you want to stop Obamacare and the welfare state and the entitlements, then you have to strip away those unconstitutional powers that the federal government is ramming down these welfare entitlements, because those are all unconstitutional. So as we actually force the federal government to comply, all of your problems go away. Almost every single one of your problems go away. Now, I can't fix, you know, that toothache that you may be having, or I can't fix, you know, maybe that that one night of a bad judgment or what have you. But what we can fix is we can fix the contract. We can not necessarily fix it, but we can get the federal government to start complying to it. And that's the important thing. So that's why we have to focus on compliance. So let me kind of dive forward. And I know that there are people, I've actually been in contact with somebody in West Virginia, and hoping that if you're in a state that I haven't mentioned before, so I've got, and I can use more, even if I mentioned these states like Tennessee, South Dakota, North Dakota, of course, Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, West Virginia, California, Oregon. If you are in other states, Oklahoma, I need you to start stepping up, even if you're in these states, because some of these states have only got one person I'm working with, and they're kind of challenged as well. Utah is another state. I've been trying, but I've just I haven't connected with all of the right people, but I believe volume is important. I mean, Walmart understands volume, right? They're not making high-end profits. They're making, you know, the smallest profits that they can, and they make up the difference in volume. Amazon learned that lesson from Walmart, and actually Amazon is far more aggressive. I once again went out online in looking for some things to take care of a loved one, and I found that Amazon was far more expensive, and again, not as receptive in, you know, in getting. How many times have you paid for a premier, or what do they call that, when you're a prime, you pay for your prime membership, and how many times is it that you actually get the products not the next day or in 2 days, because most everything you buy is outside of prime shipping because it's being fulfilled outside of Amazon? Isn't that frustrating? And you're actually paying for a service. Amazon has duped so many people. And if you really think it's worth it, then great. But I'm telling you that there are better services out there. And if you look at what Amazon is doing with their power, they are trying to shape, just like Google, just like these other big tech companies, Apple, they are trying to shape the world in a direction that is the antithesis of the direction we want to go. So you got to be careful with how you invest your money and how you spend your money. But let me get back to groveling. I'm hoping that you're poised to buy some coffee, because we've got a coffee sponsorship coming up. I'm working with the owner. We're trying to get some of these details done, but hopefully by the end of the week, we'll start actually having some ads up, or by next week. If you want to get involved, if you want to support us directly, we have on GoFundMe our Reclaiming the Republic campaign. You can get there by just going to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Right at the top, we have that link. Or you can just, like I said, email me and just get involved directly by doing research, phone calls, and so forth. Become a leader in your county. Become a leader in your state. If you want to get involved in additional ways, in other things, get involved with the Constitution Club. Go to constitutionclub.ning.com and join. Go down into your state, go down into your county, get registered down there, and start getting active that way. You can actually be a constitutional crusader without actually having to get out of your house and doing things that are very productive. Some people are, you know, they don't want to necessarily, I understand. Some people don't necessarily want to get in front of a big crowd. I know that public speaking is, it still ranks up there as one of the greatest fears. And so I get that. I mean, I still kind of have a fear of public speaking, but I've had to get over that because if I don't get up and speak, these words won't be said. And I don't have necessarily somebody to go speak those words for me and articulate precisely what needs to be said. So that's why I have to do it. That's why you have to do it. Another organization you can look at getting involved in is our firstright.org. And all of these links are on our other links on reclaimingtherepublic.org. As I always do, I did look in the news. There is no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And we're going to talk about how they've assumed some new ones today. And so before I run out of time in going into our first break, I want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. I appreciate the growth and how we are becoming we're not a leader, but we're getting up into the higher rankings for this show. And it's really not about market space for me because it's not like I'm making any money at this. What it is it's testifying that the message is that important and people are starting to get the message. That's all. That's what this is about. I'm looking forward to the day when I can retire or move on in doing other things than having to do this form of leadership. But it's the necessity. Like I said, you just can't sidestep it. And so what I'm hoping to do is get you more involved. And who knows, you could become the replacement for Reclaiming the Republic as I move off to do some other things, maybe bigger and more maybe valiant. I don't know. But we will be back right after this. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
As I was going out, I was kind of confessing the fact that I look forward to the day when I don't have to be a radio show host. This is a lot of work. It takes time to kind of do some prep. It takes time to be able to put your thoughts together and be able to present that. I know, and I've confessed before, I am not, and I probably never will be, the epitome of a professional entertainer. That's not my objective. My objective is to hopefully get you motivated, get you educated, and get you to be a part of a very succinct message. And that message to our state legislators is one word. compliance. You can say it with me. Compliance. We need them to comply to the Constitution, both the U.S. Constitution as well as their state constitution. We need to start driving home the importance of compliance. So let me kind of move forward. And again, as I said, I wanted to go through a little bit of marketing and what we call news here. The Red Pill Expo is June 7th, 8th, and 9th. I'm planning on having J. Edward Griffin on. We'll do a pre-interview to play for you so that we can actually get into what they're planning on doing, where they're going to be, and so forth, so that you get all the good tidbits and facts. These Red Pill Expos are great opportunities to meet other people in your area, networking, and even meet the real folks or these folks that are actually out there speaking and doing those things. You're actually rubbing elbows with these folks because they're all in the same room. And when they're done talking, they'll come down and they'll be sitting with you and so forth. There is great opportunities here. I hope you understand that. So it's going to be in Hartford, Connecticut, again, from June 7th, 8th, and 9th this year. So I think if you haven't heard the news today, and I think most everybody has, I want to put this in the perspective that the paradox of the week may be the month and even possibly the year is this. Smollett, after being indicted on 16 felony counts, Kimberly M. Fox, the district attorney for Cooks County, right there in Chicago, has dropped all charges. But that's not the paradox. What could that paradox be? Well, the paradox is this. Mr. Smollett actually states, coming out, that he calls himself a man of faith. Interesting. I wonder what theology he's referring to that accepts lying, deceit, conspiracy, fraud, and even an activist in homosexuality as a faithful faith follower of their theology. Now, even though these charges have been dropped, Chicago can take back that city and get people that are going to do their job and actually move forward with prosecuting him. Just remember, a person is only protected from double jeopardy if they have gone through the full proceedings of a trial. In other words, a verdict has been delivered, such as not guilty or what have you. Then you cannot try that person again. That's why I keep on harping on the fact that Hillary still hasn't been tried. You know, Smollett, he hasn't been tried. All of these folks that have broken laws, they can still be held accountable, folks. You just need to get the people that are willing to take on that, if you want to call it political courage or just good old-fashioned courage of doing the right thing. It's not that hard. And here's the other thing I want to throw out because, you know, this is just like Cooks County is going to, you know, just put out the welcome mat for anybody that wants to be protected because of their identity, whether that be a racial identity or orientation or what have you. And it seems to me like Bill Cosby should have lived in Chicago in Cooks County, maybe. Or is this really... And this goes in line with, because it may not be these things at all. It may be the ideological divide, period. Because he was swiping at Trump, well, then that's fair play. It's okay if you swipe at a conservative, if you swipe at somebody that actually believes in the rule of law and our Constitution and doing things right. And to me, that is an indictment that actually proves the fact that we have been so ideologically divided that we have to be very sensitive to ensure that you have an even makeup in ideology everywhere in government offices, whether it be the DMV, intelligence agencies, postal office, whatever it is. We've already heard that there have been cases where progressives have actually taken mail, parcels, and so forth that were going to a conservative and either intercepted, read those, destroyed them, or what have you. Those types of things are happening all the time. And that's why it's really important to have an even mix, because it increases the opportunity of whistleblowing. But when everybody in the DMV is ideologically on board with the fact of giving away licenses and the access to voting to illegals because there's nobody else that's there watching or looking, then they get away with it. But if you have a mix of ideologies, then in like North Carolina, where it's illegal, but it happens to be a very blue city, then they go ahead and get away with it because they can. And people, the word gets out, they go, oh, if you go over here, you can get a license and get access to voting. And it's happening everywhere, my friends. It is happening everywhere because those who are on that side of the ideologically horizon or whatever you want to call it. I call it the scale of liberty, right? And it's I will call it a horizontal bar that goes from white to black with all the shades of gray. And on the white side is full liberty, and on the black side is full subjugation. The people on that far side are hardwired, and they are going to do anything possible to obtain their ends and their goals. Those people on the opposite side of on the side of liberty want people to do the right thing, and they want them to choose for themselves. The people on the subjugation side are willing to force you and break laws. The ends justify the means, and that's how they live. And that's why we see all of this. Okay, so one more thing, a few more things, but the next thing, I think, if you're looking for a good dose of karma, how about the godless liar, Michael Aviante? He seemed to be slapped in the face yesterday and regarding how he was extorting Nike to paying him off. And I'm sure that if you really pay attention, somehow this is going to be Trump's fault as well, right? I mean, seems like everything that the progressives want to do is they want to pin it on Trump. Here's an interesting part of the news, and I'm hoping that this actually goes on because it seems like the OxyContin maker has been culpable of knowing what they have been doing and getting more and more people access to their drugs so that they can make a lot of money. And Oklahoma just settled with the OxyContin maker for $270 million. Now, Oklahoma is not a large populated state, so I'd like to see the equal representation type of thing applied, you know, of apportionment. And so California, New York, and all of these states, Florida, Texas, they go after and just divide the population of Oklahoma and say, that's so many per person. This is how much you need to pay us as well. And get all 50 states to tap and drain this evil drug maker who has caused a scourge in America. They're not the only ones, though. I've been telling you that our education system has been setting the stage for these people to actually make their profits. Now, here's an interesting little tidbit. The DOJ is asking to strike down all of Obamacare. But my problem or my concern is it's not for the right reasons. They're going after the technicalities that it's unconstitutional. They're not going after the fact that it is not an enumerated power, therefore it is unconstitutional, which means that the Health and Human Services is unconstitutional, which means that the urban and, you know, housing and urban development is unconstitutional. Let's take it. And that's what I was saying at the very beginning when I talked about scanning the news and how they're not taking – They're not getting rid of any of their unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. And this is a sad day for America because they keep on skirting. That's why you need to understand that these things academically are unconstitutional. They have no right, no authority. The states have not delegated these powers to the federal government, and they're getting away with murder, literally. So, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to get active? Are you going to finally start saying, you know, today's the day? Let this year be the year that you actually stand up and actually take action in helping us get all of these powers back to the states to where they belong. Well, I'm at a heartbreak, so we will be right back after this. And I've got a few more things that I need to cover, then we'll get into the Virginia resolution. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so I was just telling you about the DOJ actually asking for the federal court system to strike down Obamacare. I think that that's a great thing, but it's not for the right reasons. SCOTUS, it seems to me, is sidestepping some pretty important cases, such as they just sidestepped the gerrymandering, or actually it's gerrymandering, because it was Elbridge Gerry, and they spelt it the same way, but everybody calls it Gerry. Anyway, what you're looking at is that there were two cases, one for the Republicans and one for the Democrats, Maryland and North Carolina, where gerrymandering had been occurring. And so the Supreme Court has said, well, we're going to kind of allow the political biases. I have had these conversations with Keith Reuters on this topic, that we need to literally live within the county boundaries. Let the counties be the boundaries of how these things are, how the districts are broken up. That way you don't have split counties, split cities, or what have you. I understand that some density and population, if you need to, start breaking up the city with counties. The problem is that city government and county government has a problem in getting along, working together. And that's unfortunate. But the fact of the matter is, where does the seat of government really lie? What is the greater government of power? It is the county, because the county is where you vote. The county is where your court systems are and so forth. We have marginalized the counties in our state republics for so long, and we need to start recognizing how important the counties really are. Here's an interesting one, and I'm only bringing this up because this is a historical day. The Mexican president Obrador asks, President Obrador, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, is asking Spain and the Pope to apologize for their actions during the conquest. Now, this is an interesting and it's a historical thing because it just shows how ignorant. Now, to be honest, Spain and Portugal did violate the laws of nations. Here's the thing. Were they on board with the laws of nations? In other words, were they actually supporters and pledged, you know, to abide by the laws of nations like England was? But if you look, there were laws within the laws of nations for conquest and how to behave as a nation in conquest. When you start looking at that, then it is true that Spain and Portugal actually did violate the laws of nations, where England did not. And so just want to put it out there. So because what's going to happen? Oh, well, there's going to be indigenous people and other people here in America that's going to want Britain to apologize for their crimes committed against the indigenous people and so forth. And that's not true. If you look, they abided by the laws of the land at the time. And so even though laws may have not been very good, we've gotten better. The fact of the matter is, we believe that it is immoral and wrong to write and create ex post facto laws. In other words, you can't make something that was legal illegal all of a sudden and go after those people that were actually abiding by the law. We understand that that is how tyranny forms. So, just wanted to throw it out there that this is kind of a big historical day with the fact that, you know, he's asking for these apologies. And I really hope that they actually go through the books so that people can understand the laws of nations and how Portugal and Spain, because actually it was just Spain, but Portugal and Spain did all of the Latin American conquest, right? And so I would love to see people actually starting to acknowledge what were the violations so that people can actually look at Britain and France and so forth and go, you know what, those guys were so much better actors compared to Portugal and Spain. As a matter of fact, the Native Americans of America, of the United States, ought to be really, really thankful that it wasn't Portugal and Spain that actually conquested this territory or this area as well, that they were dealing with at least a player that tried to create treaties and so forth. And if you look at the laws of nations, conquests were not necessarily, you know, really nice things. But, I mean, there was a reason why they actually created laws so that they weren't that inhumane. Now, here's the other thing that is really important to keep in mind. Had the roles been reversed, if the indigenous folks of the Western Hemisphere actually were able to develop ships because of the lack of development that they had as far as laws and so forth, societal laws and so forth, there's no doubt in my mind, the way they treated each other, they would have just burnt Europe to the ground, and they would have done the same thing to Asia if they would have been able to project their force and get away with it in a conquest. Because if you look at how they treated each other, how they treated each other's, you know, the tribes and so forth, and the warring that they had, there's no doubt in my mind, Europe would have just been decimated, and they would have rolled into Asia as well. And you can't ignore the facts of how these societies were. There was a complete difference, and that's one of the reasons why certain societies were considered developed and or enlightened and or lawful, abiding by rules of law and so forth. And then some were savages because they just never chose to develop. It's not like they didn't have a long period of time. You know, one of the things that still baffles people is that they had wheels. They understood the advantages of wheels, but they never developed wheels for travel in this hemisphere. And it's like, wow, really? You know, why was it that they never saw and created those innovations so that they could improve their modes of travel and so forth? Anyway, I'm going on a tangent. I will say this as well, that there has been some financial data that has gotten out, and the progressives have actually slanted the financial data to assert that Trump's tariffs are costing U.S. consumers $1.4 billion a month. You got to understand there's reasons for these tariffs. I am not a fan of tariffs. I believe that these should be imposts and they should be automated imposts so that we are matching dollar for penny for penny of every type of impost or every type of additional tax that every nation puts on us. We are matching that to ensure that we're leveling the playing field for our goods against their goods, period. That is how we drive the free trade, because if you want to get to free trade, you have to level the playing field, period. And then people start going, okay, well, you know, this is just getting costly. Why don't we just let your goods compete against our goods instead of all of these protectionist tariffs that we're dealing with from all these other nations? Okay, so here comes the constitutional conundrum. Let me set this up with these three things. Let's get the third one in there too. The Second Amendment, which is the rights to bear arms shall not be infringed, and I'm paraphrasing, and the 14th Amendment, no state shall pass any law that infringes upon the individual privileges and immunities that are guaranteed by the Constitution, and the fact that the militia is still the bulwark of our defense, that the federal government is responsible for equipping and training the militia. I want you to understand that in the Constitution and in the paradigm of the Constitution, there were no limitations of the type of armament that the people were to have. The whole purpose of the Second Amendment, the whole purpose of the militia was to be able to protect ourselves from invading forces as well as a tyrannical government so that we could actually revolt and take down our tyrannical government. And with that, we need military-style mortars, howitzers, all of that type of stuff. And if we had the militia in every state, and you know, you got to understand the militia is not a compensated army, but it shouldn't be. The people shouldn't have to bear the financial cost of subsidizing the defenses of the nation. That's why the federal government was responsible for equipping, training, and unifying the training and so forth. So I'm setting this up with the fact that now Trump's bump stock ban has moved forward, and the Supreme Court. And I'm going to tell you that it seems like the Supreme Court is progressive leaning, because they should have stepped in and said, hey, this is a violation of the Second Amendment. This is a violation for the federal government to actually create a law of limiting the arms and type of arms that the people and the militia should be able to have, period. So it's unfortunate. And again, the Constitution has taken another whack. I told you yesterday that Russia was flying in military personnel and armament into Venezuela. Pompeo said today that they better cease its unconstructive behavior. So let me frame this a little bit better, and I'll repeat my question. Is our presence in Syria more important than our presence in Venezuela? I'm going to close on this when we get back, and then we will get into the Virginia resolution. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So let me go back to what I was just saying. Is it more important to keep and maintain presence in Syria, or more important for us to maintain a presence and maintain a solidarity with our doctrine with Venezuela and the Western Hemisphere? Does anybody remember the Monroe Doctrine? Does anybody remember what that means? That means that no foreign influence will be allowed or even permitted in this hemisphere. What the heck is Russia sending armaments and troops into Venezuela for? We actually have a historical standing that we will protect the good people in the Western Hemisphere, that we will stand up for their liberty and their sovereignty. And here we have Russia getting involved in supporting a puppet regime. Now, America is no better in some respects historically, other than the fact that we have never, ever gone down the path of what Russia has done in actually installing governments and managing them. They are the evil player in everything that they do. And I'm going to tell you that the way things are going with what I would say China and Russia, the dragon and the bear will become major players very soon, and they are going to force America's hand. It's a good thing that we have Trump as a president instead of Hillary, because she would have sold us out just like Obama had been selling us out. There is no way you can refute that. Obama was doing everything. And as a matter of fact, this next story actually sets this up. So let me set the story up. How many decades have we gone with no real interest in innovating our missile defense like Reagan? It seemed like as soon as Reagan finished his term, everything got shelved. We went into Iraq with Bush. We went into this globalist government, and all of a sudden we were just creating this globalist economy and global governance for the UN. And there has been zero innovations on the strategic defense initiatives and those types of things. Now, under Trump, Here is good news. The Missile Defense Agency just announced that they successfully tested an intercept of an intercontinental ballistic missile, which has been a true threat for us. And they were able to successfully intercept it with using two ground-based interceptors as a part of this network out of California. We need to start doing more and more. Like I said, we need to marginalize the existence of everybody's nuclear arsenal and missile systems. We need to just make it seem like, yeah, you can spend all that money, but not one of those is ever going to make it to this hemisphere. And in doing that, it just becomes a recognized waste of resources. And there are ways to actually improve a safety net, not for just us, but for the entire world. And again, people go, well, hey, you know, America shouldn't be the policeman of the world. America should be the guarantor of American commerce to flow freely to every port because we depend on trade. Our economy depends on trade. That was a fact back in Jefferson's day, which is why he sent the Marines to Tripoli. That is why we have a responsibility of doing that. The fact is, the rest of the world benefits from America's efforts and American lives. And Trump has articulated this, and I've been saying it for years. We need to ensure, with an E, not I, we need to ensure that the world actually acknowledges the free lanes of shipping and so forth, and actually help contribute. Now, whether they contribute financially, because a lot of people like to say things about Scandinavia, Norway, Finland, Switzerland, Sweden, and you know how socialism is so great. They spend nothing in contributing to the world economy and making sure that those shipping lanes are wide open. They're actually taking advantage of American freedom of sailing and so forth. And as far as I'm concerned, they're a bunch of hypocrites. We need to actually start getting everybody to pay their fair share. And I'll leave it there. I'm not sure if anybody, by the way, and I want to take a dig here because I've never thought he was a very good reporter. I think he's an interesting reporter, but nonetheless, he's a progressive reporter on Fox, and it's been pretty air apparent that he is a progressive, especially since Trump has become. I mean, I think he had a good facade for a long time, but had anybody noticed Shepard Smith calling out Israel yesterday for obfuscating by creating these launches and attacks and saying, you know, this is how it happens. They try to disguise the fact that Netanyahu is in all these trouble and having all these problems, and they launch these attacks. But what he failed to do is he failed to point out that Clinton was the king of obfuscation. And how Clinton, you know, bombed that aspirin factory, and how Clinton had done all of these things. When I was in the Marine Corps, Clinton deployed the Marines and he deployed the armed forces more than any other president. I don't think a president has yet come close to deploying into Somalia, into Bosnia, into Herzegovina, Kosovo, and so forth. All of these places he was deploying troops, all for the global governance initiatives. And so where was Shepard Smith in actually taking some honesty with this? Now, I'll just leave it at that. Don't want to dig on the guy personally, but it's obvious that he has a progressive slant, and I can't believe Fox is allowing him, just like Smollett, I can't believe Fox is leaving Smollett on the Empire. They should just do away with both of these guys, just like how quickly they did away with Jeanine Pirro. Anyway, and we can get into that some other day, because that news isn't going anywhere. But what I wanted to reread and what I wanted to point out is that Madison doesn't talk in this paragraph about the ratification debates. But this is the paradigm of how what they were doing was not nullification. And I'll read it again. And it says that this assembly doth explicitly and peremptorily declare that it views the powers of the federal government as resulting from the compact to which the states are parties as limited by the plain sense and intention of the instruments constituting the compact as no further valid that are unauthorized by the grants enumerated in that compact, and that in case of deliberate, palpable, and dangerous exercise of their powers not granted by the said compact, here's the kicker now, this is what you need to pay attention to, the states who are parties thereto have the right and are in duty bound and are in duty bound. So they have the right and they are obligated to interpose for arresting the progress of evil. Interpose means taking action, actually going out, not just saying your laws aren't any good here. That's actually going out and arresting the evil. How do you do that? And that's why going through Republic Review really helps you understand. It starts with the audit, identifying all the infractions, and then taking action in making sure that every single infraction is rectified and that compliance is obtained. And sometimes it requires force to get people to behave. Sometimes the parent has to grab the child, and this may sound like abusive, by the arm or by the ear or however, pick the child up, you know, put them over your shoulder and carry them to where they need to be secured from harm so that they can be corrected, so that they can be admonished, so that they can be told what they're doing is wrong and how to fix it, and take the necessary corrections in fixing that. So I move on and says, to interpose for arresting the progress of evil and for maintaining within their respective limits the authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to them. In other words, that the states actually have with, and I'll just kind of repeat that with that paraphrasing, for maintaining within their respective limits the authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to them. In other words, keeping the federal government within the limits that they're supposed to have and be able to actually maintain the authorities, rights, and liberties that the states possess. So here's the interesting thing. Even though I mentioned that at this point, he has not mentioned the ratification debate. In the next paragraph, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth paragraph, because they don't have resolutions 1 through 8 or whatever, the sixth paragraph is where he actually drops the ratification bomb, the contract bomb. And he says that this state, having by its convention, which ratified the federal constitution, expressly declared that among other essential rights... And whoa, we just got blocked here. So we're at the end of the show, folks. I'm going to pick this up tomorrow where he actually pulls the contract card out and throws it in the federal government's face. I am G.R. Mobley. We are reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.